Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
It's been said, if you have a little God, then you have big problems. But if you have a big God, then you have little problems. Friend, I don't know what problems you have today, but I know if you belong to God, He's a very big God. Today we're going to understand more about Him on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell. Perhaps you come to today's program with problems you cannot solve. What circumstances and questions are beyond your control in your life right now? Well, friend, we hope today that a fresh glimpse of God, the nature, the power, the greatness, the goodness of God, will help you see your problems and life's challenges in light of His nature. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program comes to you with Dr. Paul Chappell, the teacher, preacher, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. It's a joy every Monday through Friday to meet with you through this program. And today we're studying and understanding God, a great series of messages that really inspects from God's Word what He says about Himself. And it's our prayer that as you look at the fresh glimpse of Scripture and what God says about Himself, your problems will become smaller in light of His goodness, His power, and His greatness. We're going to wrap up our series by studying the wonderful and amazing grace of God. If you've missed any part of this series, Understanding God, I invite you to dailyintheword.org. You can hear all of the recent messages and encourage your heart in the greatness of God. But today, let's turn our hearts to God's grace. Here's Paul Chappell.
Of all of the attributes of God expressed towards us, the grace of God may be the most comforting and helpful of the attributes. Grace, by its very nature, flows downward. Grace is God acting in favor towards men who deserve His wrath. Grace flows from God in both His heart attitude and in His actions towards us. And I suppose the truth of God's grace flowing down towards man has never been pictured in a greater way than when God became a man and dwelt among us. The Bible pictures grace when it says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Bible then says in John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ." God's grace manifested through Christ is a superabundant provision of His love for those who will depend upon Him. Now, last week we learned about His mercy. And the mercy of God is God not giving to us what we do deserve. It's God not giving to us what we do deserve. But the grace of God is when He gives to us what we do not deserve. God's grace is when He gives to us what we do not deserve. In His mercy He saves us and He preserves us from judgment. But in His grace He saves us and He gives us forgiveness and eternal life and the joy of living for Him. I want you to see three important truths about the grace of God this morning. Notice, first of all, the grace of God pardons us. The grace of God pardons us. I see in the Word this morning in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We are pardoned, first of all, then, from sin's penalty. For by grace are you saved through faith. The Bible tells us that we are pardoned from sin's penalty. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 states it this way: being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. My friend, this morning, the fact of the matter is that salvation is God's undeserved favor shown towards man. There's not one person here this morning who, if standing before God, could say, God, I'm good enough to make it into heaven. God, I've never sinned. The fact of the matter is that we have all fallen short of God's perfect mark. And so God, in His grace, sent Jesus Christ to die upon the cross and shed His blood in order that you and I, because of that fountain filled with blood, you and I might have the forgiveness of sins, and that is all because of the amazing grace of God. That's why someone who's been born again, when the song is sung, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, there's just a sober-mindedness that comes to us at that time, because we're reminded of the fact that were it not for His grace, we would be miserably lost and on our way to hell today. You see, friend, the fact of the matter is that if we had to do one thing in order to gain salvation, then it would not be of grace. And this is where so many religions and so many denominations today confuse the simple plan of God's salvation. They preach about Christ, but then they say, if you really want to know that you're going to heaven, you must be baptized in water. You must join our church. You must do this work or that work. And in preaching those additional things, they are confusing the grace of God. Grace is undeserved favor. If I have to do something to gain your favor, then it's no longer grace. But if you are bestowing it upon me unconditionally, then it is the grace like unto the grace of God, who offers forgiveness and mercy for us today. I would ask you this morning to turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus for a moment. Titus chapter number 3. In Titus chapter 3, we see a wonderful biblical description of the grace of God. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 shows us that we are pardoned from sin's penalty by the grace of God. Titus 3 and verse 5. The Bible here says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you see the phrase being justified? By His grace, we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, Titus 3:5 says it's not by our works of righteousness which we have done. If you're here this morning and you believe that heaven will be your home someday because you've been baptized in a certain church, or because your granddaddy was a Baptist preacher, or because you try to be a good person, you have not yet understood what the Bible says. The Bible says we're not saved by our works of righteousness. We are saved by the work of righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that through His grace He offers to us forgiveness of sin. Years ago, there was an old American Indian gentleman who had trusted Christ as his Savior, and his life was radically changed. The grace of God changed him from the inside out. A joy came into his life. And on one occasion, some men came to him, and they said, what has happened to you? Why are you so different? Why all of this change? By the way, wouldn't that be great if someone asked that of you this week? And they said, what is going on in your life? Why do you serve God like you do? And that old American Indian took a pile of leaves and he brought them together on the ground. And then he went over to the grass and he found a large worm. And he placed that worm in the middle of the pile of leaves. And then he took some fire from the fire and he lit a fire all the way around that pile of leaves. And those leaves began to burn and they began to come closer and closer until they were almost to consume that worm. And right before they did, that American Indian gentleman reached down and picked up that worm and held it before the inquirers and said, me, that worm. Me, that worm. If you really understand what salvation is, you see and understand that in God's sight and on His economy, we were worms, lost and helpless, but by His grace, He saves us. And to those that would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith believing, He saves us by His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of your works, lest any man should boast. Friend, you can get baptized in every church in Lancaster until your fingers begin to shrivel from all of the water. But that in itself is not going to save you. It is not by works that we are saved. It is by the grace of God, unmerited favor shown towards us. We are pardoned from our sin by the grace of God. Secondly, we are prepared for service by the grace of God. This grace that pardons us also prepares us to serve God. Now back in Ephesians chapter 2, we come down to verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people understand salvation by grace, but they are not growing in grace. They are not serving God by grace. And it is God's grace that prepares our hearts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, God does not pardon us so that we can serve ourselves. He does not let us out of that prison of eternal damnation. He does not give us forgiveness. He does not give us the liberty of the Christian life so that we can do whatever we want to do. But we are now free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship. God has a plan for our lives once we're saved. His desire is that we would serve Him. In fact, back in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, it says that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. In other words, I'm saved by grace, but now I can serve God by that same grace. That inner working that starts the moment we receive Christ is to continually cause us to serve Him until the day He calls us home. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so God says, I save you by my grace, but now I would call you to serve me by that same grace. Dr. Harry Ironside, the pastor of the Moody Church for many years, often would tell the story about a lady who conspired to kill the first queen of England. In fact, she found herself a place in the closet of the queen, and she waited there until the time would come that she could murder the queen. Well, some of the servants of the queen found this particular lady and they brought her to the queen and made her kneel down before the queen. And as the queen viewed her, the queen said, if I show grace to you, what promise will you give to me? The woman looked up at the queen and said to her, grace that hath conditions is no grace at all. The queen was taken back a bit. She thought about that for a moment and she said, you are right. I pardon you by my grace. The queen, in pardoning this lady, let her go unconditionally. And history records that this lady became the most ardent, loving, lifelong servant that the queen ever knew. And if you understand what God did for you when He saved you, you're not going to need a twist around the back of your arm to get you to serve God. You are going to serve Him fervently because of His work of grace in your heart. The grace of God pardons us from sin. The grace of God compels us to service. It is all because of His amazing grace that we are even here this morning. The grace of God pardons. Secondly, the grace of God purifies. The grace of God purifies the life of a believer. Now notice, first of all, as we consider the purification of God's grace, that God's grace will purify our motives. God's grace will purify the motives of our hearts. As we grow in grace, our hearts will become more like the will of God and will act out the will of God through our life. Romans 5 and verse 21 states it this way, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans 6:1 asks this question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Some people say, well, you Baptists, you say that if you're saved by grace, that it's undeserved favor, and you make it sound like you could just go out and sin all of you want. Well, I don't suggest that we test those theological limits today. I don't believe that someone that is truly saved is going to sin all they want. But the Bible says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the Bible says, God forbid. God forbid. You see, the grace of God saves us, but it also purifies our motives. It is not a license to sin, but it is a purification factor from within our heart. And a real understanding of grace will free us from a life of sinful death and will liberate us to a life of service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Romans chapter 6 and verse 7 says, he that is spiritually dead is freed from sin. And by the grace of God, your old man and mine were nailed to the cross of Calvary. And as we recognize the victory of that cross, we can walk in liberty and in freedom to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When God in grace deals with a man, he produces his truth in a man. When God saves you by his grace, when God by his grace is growing you into the image of Christ, you will not live a life that denies the truth. You will live a life that reflects the truth. And so grace brings us along that journey of Christ-likeness. God's grace purifies the motives of our hearts. Secondly, God's grace purifies our ministry. The lives that we live in this flesh can only be drawn to the image of Christ as we are growing in the grace of God. I would invite you to turn back to Titus for a moment, chapter 2. And as we look at this corollary passage this morning, let us notice once again what the Bible says about God's grace in this passage. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. Here we see the ministry of the Christian, the life of the believer. Titus 2:11 says this, for the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us. All right, watch this. What does grace teach us to do? What does this grace that changes your life's eternal destiny do for you while you're still living this life here on this earth? Is it just a theological term? Is it just a way to get fire insurance to keep us out of hell and take us to heaven? Or can grace make a difference tomorrow at work? What does grace teach us about the ministry of this life that we're living? The Bible says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live a godly life. And those who would take the doctrine of the grace of God to some sinful advantage and who would take it to a form that is against the moral law of God, those who would abuse the doctrine of God's grace are only fooling themselves, because the wages of sin is always death and destruction. God's grace is not a license to do whatever we want to do. God's grace will teach us to live the way God wants us to live. And so we're not only saved by grace, but we are purified by grace. We are energized by the grace of God to serve Him each and every day. Yes, God's grace will pardon us from our sin, but God's grace will propel us into a life of service for Christ that is pleasing unto God, not because of our good works, but because of God's grace working through us. God's grace pardons. God's grace purifies. And I want you to see this last point. God's grace preserves. God's grace preserves people's lives during difficulty and trial. And I want you to see this from the life of the Apostle Paul. Because God's grace created within him a peaceful inner disposition. God's grace gave him a disposition that allowed him to go on when the times were tough. You see, the grace of God for the believer is an inward disposition created by the Holy Spirit of God. When you would quit, you don't quit, because the Holy Spirit preserves you. When you would stay discouraged, there's encouragement that fills your soul because of the grace and the presence of God. We are preserved then, first of all, through the pain of this life. We are preserved through the pain of this life. don't raise your hands this morning, but I would only imagine that many in this room are experiencing some disappointment, some heartache, or some pain right now in your own heart. And God wants to preserve you by His grace through that time. The Apostle Paul had a time like that in his life. He had a time where there was a physical infirmity that came over his body. It was very troublesome and very painful for him. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." By the way, sometimes God brings hurtful situations and trials into our lives to humble us and get us on our knees. Paul says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, a thorn in the flesh was given to me."
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president of West Coast Baptist College. I do invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. You can hear today's message in its entirety. You can also hear all of the messages from this great, powerful series, Understanding God. You can download them and even subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can find that and many other resources at dailyintheword.org. Now to wrap up today's program, here's Paul Chappell.
Friend, do you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I'm not asking, are you a member of a church or were you raised up in church? But do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? The Bible says, "As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." You see, God intends a relationship to be established with you that is found through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's simply stated in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friend, God is not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. And perhaps today, God's Holy Spirit is touching your heart, and you need to change your mind, and He's showing you that you cannot save yourself, because all of us are sinners, but that Jesus Christ shed His blood to cover your sin in order that you might be saved. Well, my friend, if you're beginning to understand the truth of Christ's atonement for you, and if you believe that Jesus Christ as God's Son shed His blood for your sin, then I encourage you right now to just stop from your normal pace of the day and simply say something like this: "Dear Lord, I believe that You are the Son of God. And Jesus, I pray now and ask You to come into my heart by faith. I believe that Your blood was shed for my sin. I ask You to wash my sins away and one day take me to heaven to be with You for all of eternity." Now, my friend, if you by faith will call on the Lord and believe in Him only, not in a church, not in a preacher, but in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you have made that prayer today and you meant it and you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, let me encourage you to visit our website, dailyintheword.org, and just click the little tab that says "Contact Us." Let me know that you've prayed and accepted Christ, and we'd love to send you some free material to help you get started in the Christian life. May God bless you as you grow in Christ.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Friend, we would love to hear from you this month, and we do have a gift. If you'll take the time to call or write to us, we'd like to send you a token of our appreciation. It's a booklet written by Pastor Chappell entitled "Amaze of Grace." If you're going through a difficult time right now, or if you know of somebody who's bearing up under a trial or a burden, this book will help them find God's amazing grace in the maze of their trial. Sometimes it's in life's most confusing, frustrating moments that we see God's hand of grace in miraculous ways in our lives. This little booklet will remind you of this. Again, it's entitled "Amaze of Grace," and it's our gift to you when you call or write to us this month. And just let us know that you're listening. The easiest way to do that is to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the Contact Us tab. I do hope that you'll pray about contributing to our ministry. You can do that on the website as well when you click on donate. And your investment into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for airtime so that we can continue teaching and preaching the Word of God on stations like this one all across America. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, our mailing address is Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget, when we hear from you this month, we're going to send you a copy of Pastor Chappell's book, Amaze of Grace, a great gift for someone who's bearing up under a trial. It will encourage their heart and remind them of God's wonderful grace, even in the mazes of life. Amaze of Grace, this month, our gift to you. Thanks so much for being a part of this ministry, Daily in the Word. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. And until next time, have a great day.